The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Fick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Fick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. I hope you're enjoying your weekend already, enjoying the usual sunny San Diego. Oh, wait. It's an interesting day we're having out there today.
Almost canceled the show.
Yeah, we almost had a rain out.
Yep. We were 100 yards from the studio and decided maybe this was it.
Yes, the beginning of the end. Oh, wait, that's exactly the theme of the show. We are here, if this is your first time listening, we are here to help you make good, sound financial decisions for yourself and help you understand that you are the person ultimately that is going to look out for your best interests better than anyone else. And if we can give you some of the tools to be able to make those decisions, then we feel it would be a job well done and you will be in a much better position in the future to accomplish the goals you have set for yourself. Right. We're going to do something a little bit different today. More often than not, we'll cover some type of topic and dig deep into it and try to maybe explain some of the smaller moving parts that maybe are a little harder to understand. Although probably a lot of what we're going to talk about is hard to understand. I know some of the stuff we'll bring up. It's over my head. I don't follow some of the avenues you do, Steve.
Well, we're going to do some market talk today.
Yes. With the craziness that happened this week, all the different world events going on and what has happened towards the end of the week, we figured it'd be a good show to just discuss the market volatility that's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the market was pretty volatile this week, those of us that follow it.
I think this week qualified as a volatile market.
Yeah, Thursday was a relatively big down day, followed on by Friday, which was another one. So, and those 2 days wiped out most of the returns for the year, actually. Yep. So it just shows you take 8 months to build a return and you get it knocked off the
2 days.
Yeah. It's sort of like the Padres. It seems like one day they score 15 runs and then the next day they can't score any.
Oh, so the Padres are...
They may be a market indicator.
Well, okay.
You know, jokes aside, though, we're going to talk about the market and the volatility in the market. And one of the things that happened this week was the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Dow all broke through what's called the 40-day moving average. Now, that's voodoo to a lot of people in that.
I'm included in that group. I don't follow technical indicators like this whatsoever.
Right.
So it is literally Greek to me.
So a technical indicator really is a sort of a voodoo. I remember way back when, before I ever bothered to follow it, it just seemed to me, you know, ridiculous to even look at this stuff. What it is really is it's just a technical indicator is something you can really, if you've got a ruler and a piece of paper and a pencil, you can draw a technical indicator, okay. Right? So you can have a head and shoulders and a flag and a pennant, and you can have, you know, gaps up and down, and there's millions of different things that people follow. But essentially the reason that the technical indicators can work is because it's the psychology behind the market. In other words,
that was going to be my first question, because you mentioned head and shoulders. I've heard that term, and that's a market going up a little bit, then down, and then going up more significantly, and then down.
Yep, and then up a little bit more.
And then down more.
So you've got the two shoulders on right. either side, and then the peak in the middle is the head, and you draw a line along those lines at the bottom that join the shoulders and the neckline.
Okay.
That's called the neckline, and if it breaks below that neckline, then you think it's going to go the distance of at least from the neckline to the top of the head. But that's not really getting into it.
Well, no, but my question was going to be, is it not because there's enough people that believe in that voodoo, as you're calling it,
yeah,
that's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that you, as you see these types of things, this behavior happening, that there's just enough people following it saying, oh, this is what's going to happen next, so it will.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely some aspect to it. A pure technician, which a technician will trade stocks and things like that without even knowing what the company does. All they know is it's a ticker symbol.
Okay.
And they will claim that it's more than that. It's actually the market psychology, because you've basically taken the fundamentals of the company, so their earnings and their cash flow and all of that, and you've swept it off the table. You don't care about any of that. What you're interested in is the volume of shares that are trading, and then how the stock or the index reacts to that volume, whether it's up or down. And so you're saying, you're getting more of a feel for what the underlying movement in the market than if you're just buying it on fundamentals. So what I try and do is actually match the two together, because I'm a firm believer in fundamentals ultimately drive the long-term growth of the index or the stock.
Okay.
But then in terms of trading, you want to have a good idea of when to buy and when to sell. And fundamental technicals can help you with that. So yes, it might be psychology, it might be voodoo, but if you see a chart pattern that you can see it developing, and you can see it's almost like, let's say, a cauldron that's about to explode, because you can see a lot more volume, but the sellers keep pushing it down, but there's always more buyers, you know at some point this thing's going to take off like a rocket. So at that point, you're comfortable to get into the position if the fundamentals show that it's worth buying. So really, that's how I try and match the two together.
Okay.
But in terms of the market psychology, a 40-day moving average is really, you just take the last 40 days of the market and you average it and you just plot it along a graph.
Okay.
And when the market rolls over and falls below that, it's a relatively weak signal, because you know, the last 40 days, it's typically trails the market on a bull market, right? And then on the flip side, when it breaks down, it starts to maybe indicate a bear market has begun. I'm not saying it has or it hasn't, that's for sure. 2 days isn't really a trend.
Right. And we've seen behavior like this over the last 5 years, where every little reason for the market to sell off a little bit, it seems like it has, and then seemingly a week later, it's back hitting all-time highs again.
No, exactly right. Because you've got the support of the Federal Reserve, don't forget. They're trying their best to not let the market collapse, because that's one of the few things that's working for them. But as you and I have discussed, they're slowly exiting the market.
Right.
So what are they down to now? I think it's $35 billion, or is it, a month they buy?
That sounds right.
Only?
Yeah. Just tiny little sum, $35 billion per month.
Yeah, and it's down from $85 billion,
right,
with the ultimate conclusion of the stimulus supposedly happening in October, November.
October,
right?
Is when that's been the consensus.
Yep. So the market's looking, saying, hey, our one scapegoat or our one bit of support, which was the Fed, is going to be gone in October. So this might be a first signal as to what's going to come when the Fed finally stops.
Right.
Because then the other thing to do is to look at other fundamentals, which are stocks overvalued in terms of the ratio of the fundamentals. And I think it was a show or two ago we talked about the rule of 20 and a few other things that were showing that they weren't necessarily overpriced, but they also weren't a massive bargain either.
Right.
So could they go higher? Sure. I mean, could they go down? Yes. I think where the market is right now is it seems like it's really in a little bit of a wait and see type situation. And that's, to me, not a place to go piling in and buying. Could it go higher? Yeah. Could also keep
and that
going
could
lower.
Be, for all we know, that could be for another 5 years.
It could be.
It could go higher.
Yeah.
We don't have a crystal ball. We don't think we do. We don't claim to. And we're not giving any specific advice as to buy now or sell now whatsoever.
Right. We're just giving ideas as to what types of things to look at and, right. and what sort of data points to look at. Obviously, there's the unemployment numbers. You know, those are looking a little bit better. But, you know, we can chat a little bit more in detail about this when we come back.
Right. And when we do come back, we're going to have a special new addition to the show. A new feature that we will be introducing during the next segment. So you are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Hopefully everyone is staying dry today. This is the Portfolio Doctors. Today we are talking about basically this volatile market that's been going on. We figured it's a good time to hopefully put some people's minds at ease, or at least give you some food for thought to really make good decisions when essentially we're at a pretty challenging time to decide what to do.
Not that really too many people cared, but Argentina defaulted on its debt. And I mean, right. I remember back in 87 that when there was a default and it had this contagious effect that just ran through the whole of the emerging markets and rattled everyone's cages. And that's not really going to happen this time. I think we're used to Argentina defaulting. This is the second or third go around. But what it did do is that the trickle-on effect really had a big impact on the high yield debt. And
High yield tracks.
Yeah.
Because it is high yield, it's more risk. It tends to track the stock market indexes fairly closely in most normal conditions.
To some degree, yeah. But in this case, high yield had just got way too far ahead of itself. In that investors, because of the low interest rate environment, have been desperately seeking out yield. And the place where yield is in the high risk market, high yield market. And so they just kept piling more and more money in there, driving the interest rate lower and lower and lower. And so by the time this whole reversal happened through Argentina, and I mean, that type of debt is not only high risk companies, but it's places like Argentina. It's places.
High risk locations. Yeah. And high risk means unrated, basically the term junk bonds, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe rated, but, you know,
lowly rated, right? But that falls into the junk category. Correct. Anything under triple B.
Yeah.
So if you see something with a rating that has three Bs or a big B and two small As, then that is the very bottom of the barrel of an investment grade quality bond, which tend to be safer investments.
Correct. I mean, you typically won't see too many of them default, except during the whole debacle that we just seen in 07. So the biggest fallout really in the market was these high yield guys, where they suddenly realized, hey, there's more risk here than what we've purchased, you know. So they all started dumping their high yield debt, and the price of the high yield, well, the yield went up, but the price has dropped over 5%.
Right.
And so then what you saw was a lot of money moving from there into the creditworthy debt.
Right. And this is one thing we've talked about. People have really been talking about interest rates have to go up. And we're putting out an idea about why. Do they really have to go up? Because the reality is the debt for the U.S. government, our sovereign debt, the treasuries, is still higher than a lot of countries out there that are technically much riskier investments.
Yeah. No, I know.
And realistically, maybe not even technically.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you take Germany, Japan, Switzerland, a number of others, their 10 years are at like 1.2%. And we're at 2.5%.
2.5%.
We double.
Yeah.
So if and when you have a meltdown in the stock exchange and you get a lot of people getting burnt in this high yield market, you're going to see tons of money pouring into risk-free things like a 10-year.
The U.S. government.
Well, if you buy, as our listeners know, if you buy bonds and enough people are buying it, it pushes the price up. Mm-hmm. And if the price goes up, then the inverse happens to your return. The yield or the return on the bond goes down. So, you know, that it's not hard to imagine our 10-year going below 2%.
Right.
You know, I think the one thing that's holding us back a little bit is the fact that the economy just seems still a little bit weak.
And it's slow.
Yeah.
It definitely is showing signs it's heading in the right direction, but it's very slowly happening. I read a good article about the underemployed. Yeah. And then also a bigger factor was the amount of debt, personal debt, being it was affecting 35% of Americans are subject to collections.
Oh, yeah, I read that. That's amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, and that means they have not paid for 180 days before it ever gets to collection. So,
I mean, it's sometimes it's not the huge amounts, but it doesn't really matter. It just means that some portion of your debt is you're in trouble somewhere.
Right.
Whether it's credit card or mortgage or auto or whatever it might be.
And with that in mind, we've got a perfect lead in now for our special guest. We are going to introduce a new feature called the Mortgage Minute that we're going to do on every show.
And we got a theme tune too. Yes. Look at that.
We are on it. And today we have special guest Dwayne Katera, who is the branch manager at Midwest Equity. And Dwayne, how are you today?
Good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
I don't know if you were able to listen in. We've been talking about interest rates and the volatility that has happened over the last week. And so we'd love to hear some feedback, what you feel is happening with the mortgage market, what you're seeing.
Well, we see a lot of things in the mortgage market, that's for sure, over the course of the last couple years, let alone this week. There was a lot of news earlier in the week, a lot of forecasting that the Labor Department non-farm jobs was going to come out strong, and that just didn't happen. We were expecting more volatile rates to happen towards the end of the week, but it really tapered off with the news of less jobs than forecasted, and we got a little reprieval at the end of this week in long-term interest rates. So things are great. It's definitely a volatile market, but we are trudging ahead.
Now, Dwayne, what, as an example for our listeners, I mean, what are the interest rates in the mortgage world right now?
Well, there are so many different interest rates, but usually the ones most people focus on are the, you know, the 30-year fixed mortgages, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, historically, rates have been low, and they're extremely low now. But say for a perfect borrower, 800, 750 credit, somewhere in that range, good equity income, you're looking at 30-year fixed mortgages around 4.125 with an APR of about 4.4. There are government loans, FHA loans, VA loans, things of that nature that are in the high threes, depending on the qualifications of the borrower. So they're still very, very strong.
Now, is this, we're not at historic lows right now, though, right? They have come up a little bit, haven't they?
They have. The lowest we were at on fixed mortgages, let alone rates in any capacity, were 2012 through the middle of 2013, where conventional loans were in the low threes to middle threes for fixed rates. But, you know, we're still in the low fours right now. So historically, are we at the lowest point? No, but we're close. So it's still a very strong mortgage market for purchasing and or refinancing.
Now, what do you think pushed that rate up? Because I know the 10-year note hasn't really moved a lot. So, I mean, are banks just trying to make more of a spread? Or why have we moved up by 3/4 of a point?
Well, you know, the 10-year back in 2012 was around 1.4, 1.5%, and now it's up, you know, to 2.5%. So we started off this year around 3%, which is why at the beginning of 2014 we had substantially higher rates, high fours on 30-year mortgages, and now it's come down a little bit. To be honest, it's kind of a loaded question. There's so much activity in the market. It's hard to gauge where these are going to go.
No, agreed. I mean, but with continued push down on the market, I mean, and potentially there's a chance, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't lock in a 4.25% note. I mean, that's like giving money away.
Right, it's still free money.
Yeah, but I mean, there is a possibility that they could maybe go a little bit lower from here.
You know, as we all say in this job, we all wish we had a crystal ball because they certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, rates are fantastic. Hindsight's always 20/20. They may go lower, but they may go higher, as you guys alluded to, come October, November, when the Fed starts to end their stimulus program. We don't know. The 10-year could go up to 4% at that time. So I like to say strike while the iron is hot, because you never know where it's going to go.
Well, exactly. And I mean, let's just talk about it. Let's assume rates did drop 0.5%. I mean, what does that really save you on, let's say, $500,000 loan? I mean, does it save you that much per month?
Well, let's say, you know, 0.5% lower on a, you know, $500,000 loan, you're looking probably at about, you know, not that much, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't think so. It can't be much more than about $100, is it?
No, it's really, you know, the higher the loans go, the more obviously the difference is going to be in payments. But, you know, if you're looking at maybe like $100 to $125, somewhere in that range, the long-term scheme of things, it's not that much.
Yeah, so I guess the thought is, if you're out there looking to buy a house, you know, obviously the first thing you got to do is contact Dwayne to help you with these rates. But the other thing is, I mean, you know, trying to wait for that potential of a 0.5 point move down versus, as you say, a potential of 1.5 points or more on the upside, it seems like, I mean, at these levels, you should still just be locking in these rates.
And you allude to a good point. You know, there's nothing keeping somebody from doing a loan now and then 2 months, 3 months later down the line doing another one.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to lose out on what you can do now. We have ways of catering loans to, you know, to where you're not accumulating large fees or something along those lines down the line if you want to take advantage of, if potentially rates go lower. But it's just hard to forecast where you're going to be when rates are still really good right now.
But now, if you're not a good credit score, I mean, let's assume that you know, you're in the 650 to 750 range. I mean, is it even possible to get a loan?
We actually go down to a 540 credit score.
Holy smokes!
I didn't
think that was possible anymore.
No, it is. It's kind of a misnomer that you have to have perfect credit. And to be honest with you, credit plays a huge factor in doing loans these days. But when it comes down to it, what happened in the past was more of the income style loans. Stated income loans 10 years ago and all those things that kind of caused a rift in the mortgage industry are if you can't fudge your income.
Right.
If you don't have the income, you don't get a loan. So in today's market, we have the ability to do government loans, different types of loans that do allow people that have, you know, a somewhat challenged credit score to get financing, which most people don't know.
Well, but now if you're self-employed, that always becomes a bit of a problem, right?
Not always.
I might have to talk to you.
Yeah, you're going to want to talk to one of us to, you know, go over your tax returns. And, you know, if there's money shown, then we'll find a way to get a loan for you. But, you know, it's not all self-employed individuals are out of luck.
Well, Dwayne, thank you very much for being our mortgage minute. Great information. We will do everything we can to point people in your direction. It's obvious you know everything you're talking about here with the mortgages. Once again, that is Dwayne Katera, the branch manager with Midwest Equity. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you? Via cell phone?
Best bet is just our office line here. We're located in San Diego. It's 619-610-9802. That comes directly to me, and I'm more than happy to talk to anybody that has any questions.
Great, and they can also look you up MidwestEquity.com.
MidwestEquity.com, that's correct.
Dwayne, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Okay.
You too.
And we will be back shortly to cover more details of what's going on in this volatile market and what you can do to hopefully insulate yourself.
Download your free KCBQ smartphone app. Search KCBQ. Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is, you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
And online at kcbq.com.
Welcome back. And once again, if you have any mortgage questions that you need answered, Dwayne Katera with Midwest Equity, great resource to contact. We highly recommend it. And you can reach him 619-610-9802. Well, let's continue now. Stocks, bonds,
all of them.
Both very volatile.
Yeah, the thing is that they're all interrelated.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand, when you look at, for example, diversification, that's the big thing, right? Diversify, and then it'll protect you against the downside.
Everyone if they don't understand exactly what diversify means, everyone has seen the pie chart where you have the little slices adding up to some percentage in a different type of investment.
Correct.
And that is essentially what your diversification is, where you're putting money into big companies, small companies, middle-sized companies, international companies.
Now, the first question that you have to ask yourself is, what's the point of diversifying?
Okay.
Now, the idea is behind diversification is that some parts of your portfolio go up and others will not do so well, and you'll have an overall blended rate of return, but you'll strip out a lot of this volatility. That's right. The idea.
So if one goes down a lot, if you have a lot of money invested in other things, it won't have as big a negative impact as if
Correct. You
had 100% of your money in one vehicle or one area that all went down together.
Exactly right. Now, on the flip side, what you hope is when the market tanks, that there's the ones that were going down before now start going up.
Right.
So they offset now the things that were getting stronger. That's the idea behind diversification. The problem with it is when things go down like in 07 and in 2000 and in 1997 and in 1987, man, I lived through how many have I lived through?
It was actually 08.
08, 07, whatever it was. It's, yeah, well, I like the sevens. It's but When the market went down and the real estate went down, so you had real estate going down, you had the stock market getting pounded, you had bond ETFs getting pounded, you had gold going down, you had everything.
Right.
Every single thing went down. So diversification just fell flat on its face, because the one time you really need this diversification, it was non-existent. Suddenly the correlation of all of these individual investments just came together and they all just got pounded together.
Well, there was, you can still make a pretty good argument that diversification helped. It wasn't foolproof by any means, because if you had a diversified portfolio, it didn't go down nearly as much as if you just had everything in the S&P 500.
Correct.
Because that was down 37-38% for the year.
Right.
Those portfolios were down 20-25%, which not a great outcome, but definitely much better than 37 or 38%.
Well, that's the first thing in diversification. Then the second thing is, and Dan, you and I have talked about this at length, is a lot of times you'll allocate your stock or your mutual fund investments across a broader range of mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, whether it is large cap, small cap, international. I mean, you brought up a whole number of different ones, you know, growth, value, da, 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 da. The one thing that people don't do is they don't peel back the skin of the onion to look and see what actual stocks are held in each one of these mutual funds and ETFs, because I'll almost guarantee you that you've got a number of stocks or investments that go across all of them.
Almost all of them.
And I
have seen that with the audits where someone came to me and said, I'd like you to review what I have. I look everything through, peel back that first layer to see what the overlap is, and Apple was in every single fund that they owned.
Yeah, so now you're not diversified at all. In fact, you've got a massive piece of your portfolio in Apple.
Right.
Well, people don't realize this. Just because the name of the mutual fund or the name of the ETF is different from another name, I mean, it doesn't matter. The portfolio manager, the guy who's actually doing the buying and selling, he might have decided that, well, according to me, Apple is a growth company. And then the next guy goes, well, no, it's a value stock. And then the next guy goes, no, it's big cap. And then the third guy goes, oh, it's international. The fourth guy at least says international. Right. And the fifth guy goes, well, according to us, we bought it, the Apple, years ago when it was small cap, and we've still got it in our portfolio.
Right.
Even though it's the biggest company in the world. Mm-hmm. So it just shows you, suddenly you thought you had a diversified portfolio and you've got a massive allocation to one stock.
And we really saw that a lot back in 2000 when the tech bubble burst.
Oh my goodness.
There were funds that had nothing to do with technology that had a heavy overweighting of technology stocks.
Yeah.
That they had no business being there. So that's why they got pounded.
Now, the reason, just so people understand, the reason that these portfolio managers would have an over allocation to those types of investments is because they are judged against an index, an underlying index. They're trying to at least match that index return, hopefully beat it.
Beat it.
That's their goal. Well, back in the tech days, if you didn't have some tech stocks, there was no way you were going to match or even come close to that index. So then what's going to happen? If you're not meeting or getting close to beating that index, investors pull their money out. Your income goes to nothing. You probably get fired because you're not doing a good enough job, even though you're trying to operate under the parameters.
There's another underlying factor that doesn't get talked about a lot as well is those managers get paid big bonuses based on their performance as well.
Yep.
And so the risk that they might add is to pad their own pockets, not necessarily to help you earn a bigger return.
Yeah, pretty much always about that.
Yeah.
So suddenly, as you say, when all the market went down and you were supposedly an oil and gas ETF, and the next thing you're getting beaten up because there's a whole lot of allocation to tech stocks.
There was a rumor that they might enter the oil and gas exploration with their technology.
Exactly.
or new whatever chip justification
that'll find oil sooner than later. I don't know. But yeah, so I mean, what we're trying to say, the reason why I bring this diversification up is when we're talking about the market and we're talking about bonds did this, stocks did that. And the reason we wanted to bring this up was A, because it was quite volatile this week. But B, just so that you can start learning about, you can't just focus on one different part of the market. You've got to focus on the whole market. You need to learn the interrelationship between these different moving pieces.
Right.
I mean, Argentina goes down. You have a massive sell-off, let's say, for example, and I'm just making this up now, so this isn't what happened, but you had have a massive sell-off in high-yield debt. Well, how does that affect me? I'm in the stock market. Well, a lot of those micro-cap stocks probably had high-yield debt out there. Now there's a lot of people that they can't sell their debt. They can't fund themselves. They start going under. You start having different changes to the margin requirements. Suddenly you get a margin call from your broker. You've got to sell stock you didn't want to own. You didn't want to sell. Suddenly it's more than just you that's selling stocks. And the next thing you get a run on the stock market just because of a high yield crisis.
Right.
That's how interrelated everything is. This isn't what's going to happen or what.
Right.
It's
any type. It's just showing how the domino effect takes place in the market.
Which is essentially what happened in 2008. Thanks for correcting me. When the
housing market.
The housing market went. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, what did that have to do with, for example, Apple? It had really nothing. But it did because the mortgages started failing. The banks started pulling in their horns. People were using their houses as cash, as ATMs. Mm-hmm. They suddenly didn't have access to the money. Not only that, they didn't have access to the money, but they couldn't even pay their bills anymore because they needed that access to pay their bills. So what did they stop doing? They stopped buying Apple because they're not going to go buy the new iPhone 6 because they don't have the spare cash. They're going to try and hold on to their house. This is how things are interrelated, and people a lot of times don't understand. But you really need to educate yourself, and we're going to spend a lot of time with this in future shows on the interrelationship between the whole, global economy and how that can impact certain things.
Right. And it's every day it's getting more and more intertwined.
Yeah.
Every company, we've talked about this in the past, if you're going to allocate money to international investing, do you really need to go pick a specific fund that is international? Because the reality is, just about 100% of our domestic companies, especially the bigger ones, are international companies.
Most of them.
So you're getting plenty of international exposure just by buying the S&P 500.
Agreed.
You don't have to go and buy the all-world fund or whatever the names are out there.
Yeah, other than you probably don't want to limit yourself to that. You want to probably give yourself access to Shell and, British Petroleum. Right. And, there's the Sony and Samsung and...
I get that, but I'm just, again, looking how the things are intertwined. Our domestic companies are just about every bit as international as
for sure
BP.
You would hope, but then when you look at the balance of trade, we're still importing way more than what we export.
Right.
I wish we could somehow flip that switch around because that would strengthen this economy considerably.
I don't believe our politicians will allow that to happen. They have to be able to accomplish things when they work together.
Well, yeah, but the balance of trade, we can import less and export more, and I think we're slowly starting to do that. But if we could close that gap, at least you wouldn't have so much money flowing across out of the
right, flowing out
shores.
But that also means that
there's a lot of big companies out from outside America that could be good investments.
Right. And as we're talking about these items, if this puts a little bit of fear in you or raises questions, we want you to reach out to us. We're here as a resource for you. You can email Steve@theportfoliodoctors.com, or you can email me, Dan@theportfoliodoctors.com, or you can go on our website, theportfoliodoctors.com, and we've got old shows archived there. We have a podcast available on iTunes if you search The Portfolio Doctors, with lots of additional information similar to this, covering a whole array of topics. And we want to hear from you with things you would like to hear more about as well. So please email us, call us, any way you want to get a hold of us. We will be here to answer your questions. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio.
Intelligent Talk, 1170, KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening. It is The Portfolio Doctors. I am Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And I don't think we've mentioned who we were today.
We haven't.
Hopefully our listeners that have listened as we've been going here for the last few months know who we are.
What about that guy that tuned in at noon and then just tuned out at 12:30? He missed us.
He doesn't know who we are.
Yeah.
But he can look us up on the web.
Well, when we go out, the paparazzi, he won't be able to find us.
Right. Yeah. That's good. We're trying to keep the paparazzi low. It's a hassle. But on a quick note, listening to that last ad there as we were coming back, Lead Commerce, we have worked out another deal where if you reference The Portfolio Doctors, you will get double the amount of time for the free trial and give them a try. They're a great web software solution.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, jokes aside, I've looked at that software, mm-hmm. and it's better than anything else out there.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as off-the-shelf, you know, order management and sorting online sales and that, it's... Yeah.
Every aspect of your business can be run through that. It's
correct.
Literally a one-stop shop.
Yep.
Well, as we move along now, kind of getting back to the market, because I'm sure that's on a lot of people's minds with a negative overall return for the week, and probably pretty substantial.
Yeah. I mean, it's at least down 4, I think it was, or 2.
For the week.
Or 4, yeah.
So,
I mean, it knocked a big chunk of the returns.
Yeah, it ended up making a negative July.
Yep.
Where July was moving along, not up huge, but it was going well, and then boom, like you said, 2 days, and that was over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that this is now, here we go. You know, when you looked, you back to you know, technical indicators at the beginning of the year, and this, if someone wants to go and rewind and listen
right.
on our iPods to our January one, when January was so volatile, I forget what January was down,
it,
but it
wasn't
was down
even
a big
really
number.
Volatile. It was just
straight down
the whole month.
And history, the almanac of the stock exchange shows that if January's a reasonably big down month, that the rest of the year's seriously volatile, and there's a high percentage chance that the year will end up down.
Right.
Now, that's just history. We all know about history, you know. So
it's in the past.
Exactly. Well, that's about all you know about
right.
history.
You can read about it.
Yeah, and you know what, though? While we're on this topic of history, and this is once again what's called data mining and all of that, historians weren't there.
Right.
So, I mean, I fought in a very small war in Angola. And, you know, you make certain decisions, and it's easy to look back historically and say, well, why didn't I do that?
Right.
But you weren't there. And you weren't in the trenches, or you didn't have, you know, things flying around your head, missiles and that. You know, just like this, you know, what happened after 9/11, and, you know, it's what the CIA did, right or wrong. I mean, on a humanitarian level, it's definitely wrong. But, you know, at that point in time, they were probably under a directive to get answers.
Right.
So, I mean, it's history, when you read the history books and you read what, it's always a speculative guess as to what was going on or what people think should have happened.
And that's a big flaw in the investment world, is people rely so much on that and they don't understand. You can only make the best decision with the information you have at that time.
Correct. And you forget what that information was.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get at, is that the information blurs, or what you thought was reality then. When you look back 10 years, you've forgotten a lot of what was going on at that point in time.
Right. Absolutely.
So when you look back and you look at these things of, well, history says this or history says that, you've got to really take it with a pinch of salt. Because you're not sure how you're going to react. And that's the whole psychology of investing, which we haven't addressed since we've been here.
Right.
And we will in the future. But it's a major factor in terms of the stock exchange, and making certain that you behave rationally at all times. It's very, very difficult to do.
Right. And that's one thing we've hinted at, is the difference between an institutional investor and the general population. Is that emotional, psychologic aspect. And the institution, there's no emotion to anything
it's
they do.
It's not their money.
Where the individual, it is. And you can get emotionally attached, or you can panic one way up or down and see something moving up and going, oh, no, I'm missing out, and get into it after it's already had its big run. And then it goes down on you and you end up losing because of that emotional aspect, where those institutions, there's no emotion whatsoever. There's no psychologic aspect. It's just, we buy now, we sell then. We sell now, we buy then. And that's it. And that's why those big institutions tend to do better than the individual investor.
Right, right. Well, you've also got a lot of heads looking over each other's shoulders to try and mitigate certain of the irrational type responses. Mm-hmm. But even so, you still see that happen. I don't know if anyone can even remember Barings when they went down, because that one 25-year-old guy had hidden all of his futures trades, and they were so overly exposed that a 125-year-old bank went out of business in an afternoon.
Right.
So it just shows you that it can happen. But, you know, it's interesting, talking on a little bit on psychology, a lot of people find it easier to trade their own money than other people's money, and vice versa. Some people don't really care much when it's someone else's money, but they really panic when it's their own. But there's always that trigger And that's what we're trying to establish here with this volatile market, is don't be overly concerned. No one sitting here knows whether it's going to on Monday go screaming back up or continue its downtrend. Right. You don't know. No one knows. I mean, you can go listen to CNBC for the rest of the weekend and be all wound up by Monday morning. I've done that to myself about 20 years ago until I finally worked out that this wasn't doing anything for me. But ultimately, no one really knows. So rather prepare yourself, educate yourself, look around at opportunities. When they present themselves, be ready to invest, and then make certain that when you are investing, that it fits well into what your goals are in terms of making sure that you can get where you want to go.
Right, accomplishing. And times like these really, really show the value of having a specific plan of what you're trying to accomplish and the way you're going to try to accomplish that.
Right.
Because if you do that, all this volatility that's gone on, it becomes noise, which we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. And it really plays much less of a role, if any role, in your decision making.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And that's really what we want to do. We want you to be educated. We want you to be able to see the warning signs. And that's really looking at the global market and looking and seeing what factors are affecting things and how they're affecting things. We're going to educate you in that. But ultimately, we want you to have some kind of a game plan to help you get to your retirement.
And if you have one and you're not sure if it's right, we'll help you sit down and look at it and really see exactly what it is you have.
Right.
We are here as a resource. We are the portfolio doctors.
I know. Look at us.
I'm sure there's some Cracker Jack box license we can put on the wall.
Yeah.
That about wraps it up for today. Thanks again for listening. Hopefully the skies have parted and the sun's shining out there when we get out. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. You've been listening to the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170, Intelligent Talk Radio.
You've been listening to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.